Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lofton.
At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like it, John Murphy.
And now I'm a little more comfortable talking to you because I can tell you really know football.
Boo! What's my name? Boo! Boo! Boo!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
Touchdown, Buffalo! We're going back and forth all day long!
This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
This is the John Murphy Show.
We are whipped into a frenzy here as well. Good evening. Welcome. It is the John Murphy Show podcast for Tuesday night, April 23rd, just two nights away from the NFL draft. And as I said, we are whipped into a frenzy. We are ready for the draft and going to get you ready for the draft as well tonight on the podcast. Thanks for tuning into the podcast tonight. Back on live radio tomorrow night, our final podcast of the our final podcast only episode of the year until next hockey season. Tomorrow night, we'll be back on WGR Radio and on Sports Radio 950 AM, ESPN Radio in Rochester as well, starting tomorrow night. But podcast tonight because of the Sabres game. And tonight, the draft, 2 days away, the NFL draft, round one. It starts Thursday night, and you'll hear it here. We're going to be covering it live here Thursday night and then Friday night on WBEN Radio because of the hockey game. But it starts Thursday night at 8 p.m. Friday, rounds 2 and 3 start at 6:30 p.m. Saturday starts at 12 noon. And tonight we're going to get more draft talk. We're going to hear from the Bill Scouts. We've heard from a lot of people who write about the draft, analyze the draft from the media standpoint. Tonight, what do the Bills Scouts think? We're going to talk with a couple of them as the Bills made the Scouts available to members of the media, a very select group of media here at One Bills Drive today. And we're going to talk with them about their thoughts on the prospects involved in this year's draft. You'll hear that in a moment. But we're in four different Scouts. We'll hear from Brian Fisher, who covers the Midwest. We'll hear from Daryl Moody, who covers the Southeast. Brad Forsyth, who covers the West Coast for the Bills, and Tom Roth, who covers the Southeast. All four of them will hear their thoughts on a variety of different players tonight. Also tonight, T.J. Graham, Bills wide receiver, wrapped up an outstanding week of off-season minicamp. 3 days, I think it's safe to say T.J. Graham was the standout player last week, and we'll sit down with him coming up in the second part of our podcast tonight. But the draft takes center stage, and we'll get to that in a moment. One bit of news today, as of late this afternoon, still no agreement between the Buffalo Bills and free agent linebacker Carlos Dansby. The Bills confirming today that Dansby is in Buffalo, in Orchard Park, and the Bills are entertaining him on a free agent visit today. He arrived in town reportedly last night. He is a 9-year NFL veteran, cut by the Dolphins back on March 13th. The Dolphins picked him up a couple of years ago in a big free agent signing, big money free agent signing from the Arizona Cardinals. The Dolphins made him a free agent when they signed Danelle Ellerby to a big contract on May 12th, and then Dansby was released by the Dolphins March 13th. Ellersby signed March 12th. 6'4", 250-pounder, very good season. Led the Dolphins with 134 tackles and one sack last year. He is 31 years old. He has missed just 8 games over his first 9 seasons in the NFL. Dansby, most comfortable in a 3-4 defense, which is the base defense, one would think, here for the Buffalo Bills. In with the Bills today, a free agent visit, but as of late today, no signing and maybe one to come in the next day or so. But Carlos Dansby making a free agent visit with the Bills today. Just a couple of days from the draft, and speaking of the Dolphins, there are reports today from the Miami Herald, Armando Salguero, reporting the Dolphins are talking with teams trying to find someone interested in the 12th overall pick. Dolphins want to trade down. They're looking for a trade partner, somebody who wants to move up. The Dolphins reportedly talking to several teams. 5 teams have made calls about trading down in the first round, according to ESPN, including the Buffalo Bills, also the Eagles, Lions, Browns, and the Dolphins. So the Dolphins may be joining the Bills in that list of teams looking to trade down in the draft. Well, the draft is coming up, as we said, round 1, 8 o'clock Thursday night, round 2, 6:30 p.m., round 3, 12 noon, or day 2, 6:30 p.m. on Friday, rounds 2 and 3, and day 3, Saturday, this Saturday at 12 noon, rounds 4 through 7. Got a chance to talk with Bill's scouts today about some of the various prospects, and basically I used it to bounce some names off them to get their thoughts on some of these players and who they are. Brian Fisher's been with the Bills for a couple of years, covers the Midwest, the Big Ten, the MAC schools, among others. We talked with him about a number of players, including a quarterback that maybe is not on your radar screen just yet from Findlay University in Ohio, Clay Belton. We want to hear his thoughts on him. Aaron Dobson, the wide receiver from Marshall. Zach Dysart, the quarterback from Miami of Ohio. And Manti Te'o, the linebacker from Notre Dame that everybody's heard of. We started off our interview with Brian Fisher by asking him his thoughts on linebacker Manti Te'o.
Manti, you know, very productive player. He's got excellent instincts. He's physical. He's better in zone coverage than, you know, that's something that he's improved upon considerably. You know, he had... You know, he didn't have a lot of interceptions during his career, but he had 7 this year. You see really good awareness and angles in his zone drops. He can undercut routes. He doesn't have elite speed, but he's a guy that plays faster than, you know, many times, at least for off the combine time, because he anticipates so well. And he's moving a step or two before other guys just because how well he reacts. So good football player, very productive. Better versus the pass than given credit for, and a guy that could play and play early.
Brian, what do you make of his performance in the BCS championship game against Alabama?
Yeah, you know, wasn't his best game, but, you know, one game doesn't make an entire career. And obviously Alabama, excellent team, excellent offensive line. But, again, the body of work with Manti is very strong, and, you know, and he showed a lot throughout his career. So,
I want to ask you about two quarterbacks. The first one, Zach Dysart from Miami of Ohio. Give us your thoughts on him.
Zach's got good size. He's got above-average arm strength. What you like most about Zach is his ability to create plays. You know, he's not someone you would classify as a runner. In terms of, you know, speed is probably average, but he's kind of a sneaky athlete in terms of escaping the rush, making plays outside the pocket, and he's got just really good balance. When he's throwing, whether rolling to his right or to his left, you know, he can make throws off balance with accuracy down the field, and that's when Zach is at his best, kind of in terms of creating plays under chaos. You know, probably needs to be just a little more consistent when playing in the pocket with footwork and some of his reads. But he's a guy that has talent. He's an interesting player that has upsides.
And the other quarterback is kind of an under-the-radar guy that I've just been hearing about in the last week or two from Findlay in Ohio, Clay Belton.
Clay Belton, yeah. He actually started some games at Miami of Ohio as a freshman, right about the time when Zach was there, and ended up transferring after a coaching change to Maryland. Things didn't work out there. He ended up transferring then again to Findlay and had to sit out a year because of the double transfer rule. But he's a talented guy. He's 6'5", strong arm. He's actually got some mobility for his size. You know, he had some inconsistencies in terms of just, you know, accuracy, and he had some interceptions. You know, he's going to have to improve his ability to read coverage, make quicker decisions. But he's a guy that has upside, kind of guy you'd like to have and develop. So he's an interesting guy.
Last guy I want to ask you is a receiver that I first laid eyes on at the Senior Bowl, Aaron Dobson from Marshall. Talk about him.
Yeah, he's, you know, I like Aaron. You know, you really like his height and length, long arm guy, sneaky fast. You know, he's one of those guys where, you know, his initial quickness is maybe average, but he's a long strider and he really eats up ground and he can get on top of guys really quickly. So he's a legitimate vertical threat outside the numbers who can threaten people with his speed, with his height and length. And he does a great job of tracking the ball, judging it in the air, and making some fantastic adjustments. I mean, he's made 2 or 3 of the best catches, you know, you'll ever see, you know, with defenders draped upon him. So he's a guy that probably needs to be a little more refined as an underneath route runner, but he's got a lot of talent and a guy that's going to go pretty high.
That's Bills regional scout Brian Fisher on a variety of players we talked with him about. Then we turned our attention next to a veteran scout with the Bills, Daryl Moody, who covers the Southeast, including the ACC and the SEC, a couple of big-time conferences, especially the SEC. We wanted to ask him about some of the quarterbacks, maybe not the top-flight quarterbacks that everybody knows about, but some of the under-the-radar quarterbacks. And here's our interview with Bills regional scout, Daryl Moody.
Well, Darryl, let me start with the quarterbacks anyway. Let's start with the guy who we spent some time with down at the Senior Bowl. I'm sure you've seen a lot of Tyler Wilson of Arkansas. Talk about him a little bit.
You know, Tyler is, you know, he's gone through the transition there. And I saw him play against Alabama live his junior year, and I saw him play against Texas A&M live this past year. I think he's a very tough kid. He has taken a beating, you know, through the years. The offensive line is not protected great for him. He did not have the weapons this year that he had, you know, his junior year, and I think that hindered him some. But I think he's a very savvy, tough player that I think the rest of your team will rally around because of his mental and physical toughness.
How would you assess his arm, an NFL caliber arm, in terms of accuracy and strength?
I think he's got adequate arm strength. I think he's going to rely more on anticipation and timing than he is arm strength. And I think that's what he's going to have to do. If he relies on arm strength, I think he can get himself in trouble.
Another quarterback, another Tyler at Tennessee. You saw a lot of Tyler Bray. Talk about him.
Tyler Bray has has the height that you're looking for. He has great arm strength. He does not need much room to deliver the ball. He's not a great athlete, but he did not get sacked much because he could get rid of the ball quickly. Reminds you a little of Rivers from that standpoint. The thing that Tyler Bray has got to do is he's got to get more consistent with his mechanics and his footwork, and he's got to spend more time, you know, with football off the field. You know, he just likes to go play. But I think he's a very intriguing guy. He has a chance to develop into a great quarterback in this league. But he may be his own worst enemy and not let himself do that.
Two of his Tennessee teammates, wide receivers, Patterson and Hunter. What can you tell us about those two?
Patterson is very raw. Probably has as much ability with the ball in his hands as anybody in the draft. Still a raw route runner. The size that he has, the speed that he has, the ability to make people miss and break tackles. If he'll get more discipline with his distances on his routes and those things, he has a chance to be a dominating player in this league. The thing that's intriguing to me, he's a JC kid that reported to camp reported to Tennessee 5 days before fall practice started. I saw him play the opening ball game against North Carolina State, and he was the best player on the field. You know, but he needs to get more precise, you know, with his route running. But I don't believe there's a player in the draft that's better with the ball in his hands than he is.
What about Justin Hunter?
Justin Hunter has got the size, the length, the speed that you're looking for. Little inconsistent, catching over the middle. It's not his hands, it's concentration. He's a guy that you'd probably draft as a number two receiver that has the ability that could develop into a number one receiver. Those two guys are very interesting.
LSU has obviously some prospects. One of them that I want to ask you about is Kevin Minter, the linebacker. Tell us about him.
Very instinctive player. You know, probably not as fast as some other linebackers in the league, but he makes up for it with his instincts and his savvy. Makes a lot of tackles. You'd like to see him knock more people back, you know, when he tackles them. But I think that's a product of the offenses that they're going against. It's a much spread offense. I don't think you get a chance to square them up as much as you used to. but he will be a very productive player in this league.
Inside linebacker, maybe?
Yes, he's inside.
Would he be a liability at all in coverage?
You know, he's not a liability down there, but he will have to cover better in this league than you do down there, because they're going to. This league is a league of mismatches, and they'll make him prove that he can do it, you know. But I think he has the ability to do it. Playing against tight ends and backs, most of the tight ends and backs. If you got him isolated on an elite back, I would take my chances with Spiller going one-on-one with him. But, most of them I think he'd be okay with.
One more player to ask you about from LSU, Barkevius Mingo.
Very talented kid, has a chance to be a very good outside linebacker in this league. He gives you some pass rush ability. Doesn't get as many sacks as you'd probably like to see him get now, but he gets a lot of hits on the quarterback. I think his future is very bright. And I think he's athletic enough that he can drop into coverage and not be a liability at all. He has a lot of upside to him.
Bills regional scout Daryl Moody talking about some of the quarterbacks and some of the other prospects that he has seen. Brad Forsyth has been with the Bills for a long time. He covers the West Coast and the western side of the country, including the Pac-12. Some interesting quarterback prospects out there, including Matt Scott from Arizona, Brad Sorensen from Southern Utah, and a couple of other players. Here's our conversation today with Bills regional scout Brad Forsyth.
Brad, let's start with the quarterbacks, maybe some under-the-radar guys. Matt Scott, who I believe the Bills worked out in a private workout, right? Arizona guy.
Yep. Matt is kind of an interesting guy because he's kind of been under the shadow of a couple of pretty good quarterbacks there at Arizona over his career. He was supposed to be the guy after Willie Tuitama left there, and then Nick Foles transferred in. Matt had actually won the starting job, and I believe an injury kind of knocked him out, and Foles came in and played well, and then Matt was never able to regain his spot. And then this year, he really excelled in Rich Rodriguez's system when he came in there. And love his toughness, love his competitiveness. He's a guy, and just one particular play just stood out as in an earlier game. They run a play to the running back, and 60 yards downfield, he's throwing a block on a defensive back. So it just kind of shows his toughness and competitiveness. Really good athlete, really strong arm, quick release. A lot of the physical things that you're looking for, the things you worry about a little bit is he's only been a one-year guy. And that's nothing to his fault, but just you like to see that more of a body of work on guys over their career. But extremely talented kid that's got a lot of upside.
Way back in October, November, Doug Whaley threw out the name Brad Sorensen from Southern Utah.
Yep.
Tell me about him, what you've seen.
Another interesting kid. He's kind of not a really highly recruited kid. He ended up going to BYU at first and then transferred out and went down to Southern Utah. Guy that's got – he's the ideal size. I mean, he's a bigger kid, 6'4", 230, really strong arm. Really, he can really spin it. He's more your prototypical pocket guy, play action. He's not going to be the athletic guy that maybe Matt Scott is that can make plays with his legs, but a guy that's going to be in the pocket and show toughness and deliver on contact and make field throws down the field. Extremely productive in that system. Again, more of a spread type system that they run there at Southern Utah, but he really excelled in it.
On the defensive side of the ball, at the Senior Bowl actually, a lot of people came away raving about Ziggy Ansah from BYU. Give me
no
your thoughts.
No question. How about an interesting story with him. He was really on nobody's radar going into fall camp this year, and I don't even think BYU really knew what they had. I think they knew they had an athlete, but they weren't sure really what kind of player they had. And both Matt Handon and myself went in there in August and early September, and said, "Boy, we got to get a later look on this guy because this kid could be something special." Wasn't even starting at that point in the season, but when he was getting in, was extremely productive. They're moving him all over their defensive line, inside, outside. You could see the athleticism, and for a guy who really had never played much football, surprisingly had good instincts. I mean, he knew how to find the ball. Technique-wise, he was still pretty raw, not real sure how to use his hands and that kind of stuff, but I mean, that was to be expected for a guy that hadn't really played a whole lot of football. So a guy that's really excelled. They had a couple injuries there at BYU, and so he got more playing time as the season went on, became a starter, and has just kept getting better as we've gone. Senior Bowl week, Had an okay week during of practice, but when he really excelled was in the game, which is what you want to see on a guy when the lights are on and the live bullets are flying. He made a ton of plays and is fun to watch. I mean, he's talk about a guy with a high ceiling. He hasn't even scratched the surface of what he can be. So it's an interesting guy to watch for going from here forward.
One more defensive player that we saw at the Senior Bowl during the practices, the ball seemed to be around him a lot. Desmond Trufant, the corner from Washington.
Yeah, he's just a football player. A little worried about size when I first saw him going in. I think he was 180 pounds last spring when we had gotten our info from Blesto, but got his weight up to 190. He's got everything you want in a cover, pure cover corner. Not the biggest guy, but he's certainly physical enough. He's a good tackler. But what he can do is just flat cover guys. Man, press, off. He can slide inside. Excellent hands and ball skills. Extremely confident, but yet, not that over-the-top kind of guy. But he's very, very confident in his abilities and loves a challenge. So you like those guys out there when they got to take those big-time receivers. He's a guy that you don't mind having out there.
Brad, what can you say about Matt Barkley that hasn't really been said already in the 4 years?
I really enjoyed watching Matt and got to know him a little bit over this process. We've had his pro day workout and had a private workout with Matt. Just really like his maturity level, not only as a person but as a football player. Obviously playing a lot of football there at SC. Came in a semester early after graduating high school early. He's an easier guy to evaluate than some of these guys because you have such a large body of work to look at. He's been in the limelight. Of course, this year he had the high expectations of national championship aspirations, Heisman hopeful, and things just didn't go as well as he had planned and the team had planned. But he's seen it all as far as you can do in college, and so you like that aspect of it. He's as NFL ready as a guy that I've done in a while, especially in the system they come out of. He's not in that typical spread system that a lot of colleges are going to. He plays in a more of a prototypical pro-style offense. So you see him do everything that you want a quarterback to see, and he's going to do it well. A lot of people knock him for the arm strength. He doesn't have that elite arm, but it's certainly good enough in what his understanding of the game and anticipation and timing is where he's going to earn his living anyway.
That's Brad Forsyth, the Bills regional scout for the West Coast, including the Pac-12. And finally, we talked with Tom Roth today, who covers the Southeast. The Bills do have a preponderance of scouts in the Southeast. Tom Roth handles the SEC and the ACC. And one of the guys we wanted to ask him about was a wide receiver from Tennessee Tech, Derrick Rogers, who was a former Tennessee wide receiver, had to transfer out of Tennessee to go to Tennessee Tech, a guy who has tested positive in some substance tests over the last few months, including back to his Tennessee tenure. We asked Tom Roth about Derrick Rogers and his thoughts on what kind of a receiver he might make in the NFL.
Start with Derrick, a guy who's, obviously a talented receiver, has got some red flags. Just tell me what you saw of him on the football field.
On the football field, he's a big, strong, physical kid. I mean, just great-looking kid. I mean, muscled up, thick. Who I kind of compared him to is Eric Moles. Huh. That was when I first started here. Just, how Eric looked.
Sure,
But big, physical, strong receiver. Really good body control. Really good ball skills. He could have dominated a little bit more this year at Tennessee Tech. He only had about, 700 or 800 yards receiving. I think 250 of them were in one game. But he has all the physical tools. And, the explosiveness. I think he had a 39-inch vertical at the combine. Ran 4.48, 4.49. So it's all there. It's just he had some character issues, talking to him at the combine, it's cleared up a little bit, but is it going to come back? You don't know.
You can't ignore that,
right?
Can you?
No. But as scouts, we grade their ability,
right?
And then Buddy and Doug Whaley, they make the call on that. So
you had Florida State, and I want to ask you about a couple of guys at Florida State, mm-hmm. the cornerback Xavier Rhodes.
He's a big, good-looking press corner. And possibly later in his career, he can move to safety. And I compared him a little bit to Malcolm Jenkins, but Xavier's more twitchy than Malcolm. But we're more of a press team, and that's what he does. The thing is with him, you had to watch a little bit. Like we watch all the guys at the combine and at the pro day, but he was a bigger for me at least, to really see his footwork and all, because he wasn't really thrown on much this year. And he had to go through, had to go through a lot of film to really get a good sense, you know, just to feel good when I left there or when I finished him, what he was. But he's a big press corner, good run support player, and a good kid. The intangibles are all good.
It's a sign of respect when a corner isn't thrown at. Also like to see some ball skills.
Yeah, okay. Right, exactly, all that. And a lot of the ball skills stuff, you'll see stuff on the film, okay, because, all right, maybe he'll have two picks on film, or maybe he'll have one pick and a drop. You got to watch. That's big at the combine, at least seeing their ball skills. And if they catch everything in the combine, you still don't know for certain.
Because you haven't seen it in a game.
Exactly. Because there's one guy, and I don't want to bring his name up, but and he wasn't in my area, but on film, he had really good ball skills. At the combine, it was awful. And I'm like, man, so what is it? What is it?
I want to, while we're talking about corners, a cornerback from William & Mary, Webb.
BW.
Yeah. What do you think of him?
Well, I've been going there now since his whole career. And his very first game against Virginia, he was the national player of the week.
Wow.
And, he had eight picks his freshman year. He had three that first game. So I'm like, man, I couldn't wait to do them. And he's another guy like Xavier Rhodes, where they don't throw on him much. And especially at 1AA, he's a stud. But he's got all the movement skills, and he looked really good at the senior bowl. He was a big one for me to, just to see at that level, how he competed. And he competed. He didn't lose a beat. But all the athletic skills are there.
A little small side, maybe?
Yeah, you'd like him to be a little bit bigger, but he makes up with that with athleticism. And he's a punt, very good punt returner, too. So.
And back to FSU for the guy on everybody's top of everybody's list, E.J. Manuel. EJ. Just tell me about E.J. and how his game translates to the NFL.
Well, his game, I mean, now, how the game's changed, last year with RG3 and Russell. He's got that dynamic. He's got the run option dynamic. And out of the only three quarterback, well, I did four, but the three main ones, Bray, Glennon, and Manuel, Bray and Glennon aren't runners. They're pocket passers. Right. But EJ, he's got that dynamic. He's not a finished product. He's got a good upside, but there's still some stuff he needs to improve on. And his best exposure was the Senior Bowl. The defenses weren't, they have to do vanilla defenses basically there. But he looked really good there. He looked really good in Indy and at his pro day. So it's all on the come with him. But he's still got some things to improve.
What does he need to improve on, would you think?
Footwork. They all need to improve on footwork. A little bit of his accuracy, it's good, but putting the ball pinpoint for run after. Needs to improve on that. Maybe making a little bit of quicker decisions, stuff like that. And that's, not to be real critical of the guy, but he can do better with that, as could most of those other, Bray and Glennon.
That's Tom Roth, Bill's regional scout, his thoughts on several players, including quarterback E.J. Manuel. Safe to say his eyes lit up when we asked about E.J. Manuel, a guy who increasingly is being linked to the Buffalo Bills, it seems, on many draft boards. Just a couple of days to wait until the NFL draft. It won't be long now, and we're all looking forward to Thursday night when we cover the draft live here starting at 7 o'clock on our show. Speaking of the draft, you're running out of time if you want to get involved in the 7th Annual M&T Bank Draft Day Challenge. This is the contest where Bills fans get to predict the team's first selection in the NFL draft. The fans who correctly guess the Bills' first pick this year will be entered to win a prize package. Five of them, selected at random, will get an exclusive meet and greet with the Bills' top pick, a private tour of the Bills' facilities, and an autographed NFL draft helmet. It is the M&T Bank Draft Day Challenge, the 7th annual. If you're interested, just log on to buffalobills.com/draftdaychallenge and find out how you can get involved, but you got to do it by 5 p.m. on Thursday. Speaking of the draft, tonight is the night that ESPN is airing its 30 for 30 documentary about Elway to Marino. We spoke last week with Ken Rogers from NFL Films, the director, and I thought it's worth mentioning. I had a chance to preview the documentary. It is outstanding. Elway to Marino, the 1983 quarterback draft, including our very own Jim Kelly. He's in there. He was interviewed for this documentary. It's definitely worth watching. Starts at 8 p.m. tonight on ESPN. Elway to Marino, about the quarterback draft of 1983. Last year, in the third round, the Bills got a wide receiver, T.J. Graham, the wide receiver out of North Carolina State. He had an outstanding minicamp last week, the voluntary minicamp with the Bills veterans. He's also got his T.J. Graham Skills Challenge coming up, one this weekend in Raleigh, North Carolina, and one in late May at Williamsville South right here in Buffalo. Bills receiver T.J. Graham joins us in studio when we return. It's the John Murphy Show podcast presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. This year, our friends at NOCO are celebrating their 80th anniversary. Since 1933, NOCO's been serving the Western New York community with a wide array of energy products to keep businesses functioning at their peak, including natural gas, electricity, commercial fuels, industrial lubricants, and more. With 80 years' experience in wholesale and retail energy products, NOCO is dedicated to delivering commercial energy to your business. NOCO develops and implements customized programs that can improve efficiency, save money, and fuel your company's growth. Visit them online at NOCO.com or call 833-NOCO and learn more about what NOCO can do for you. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. The Bills have wrapped up their first voluntary veteran minicamp, and one of the standouts of the minicamp is with us in studio right now, wide receiver T.J. Graham. Thank you very much for coming by.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You must have felt pretty good about the way the three-day camp went.
It just felt very natural to come out here and, participate in the minicamp and get back to running routes. Working out is all fun and good, but, get back on the grass is, where we make our money. So
it seemed like you caught a lot of things coming your way, a lot of sideline passes. I mean, everything that was thrown your way, I think, pretty much wound up in your arms during that camp.
I wouldn't be here if I couldn't catch. So, yeah. I had a lot of time in the offseason to work on different things. I've been in this big in the NFL for a year. I can kind of understand where I needed to improve on and what I need to work on. So I did that.
Give us some insight. What did you work on during, the couple of months from the time the season ended, 1st of January, until this past week?
I took January off, and I used a lot of time to do, a lot of hand-eye coordination stuff. I actually got my eyes fixed. I had a pretty bad lazy eye and astigmatism in my left eye, so I got that adjusted.
When did you have that diagnosed? When did you find out about that?
Towards the end of the season, actually. I went to go figure it out because I was having trouble, tracking the ball to my left side, so I went to try and figure it out. So I had to train my eyes and, get back into the groove of things.
How do they fix it? Like laser?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so. Can you tell the difference?
Oh, yeah. I can see 20/10.
Really?
Yeah, I even read the 25 line in our exams, which is the very bottom line. It's 2 rows behind the green.
Below
the green. So.
And that's made a difference. You can tell on the football field that's made a difference.
In my right eye, I had 20/10 already. So I majority caught the ball with my right eye. But, tracking the ball with my left side was pretty difficult. But I made it this far. So
I wanted to talk more about what you did in the offseason, but on the eyesight thing, that never was detected during your time at NC State? Never came up? Never was an issue?
No, I caught the ball, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm a perfectionist. I always like to improve on things, so I like to – I sat on the end of the season, and I even saw Doug Whaley a little bit later in the year at a pro day, but before that I had to analyze and assess myself and figure out what I need to improve on and how to improve myself. Size, I need to get bigger, I need to get stronger, faster, I need to improve my route speed, catching the ball, tracking the ball. So that was one thing in that process to fix it.
And that whole offseason work started, what, February or so?
February. I trained with my dad down at NC State.
Your dad's a track coach, right?
Track coach, so I got my speed down. He's very good in the weight room, too, getting my speed right, my lifting right. So also in school, too, so I had to balance school with training and everything. So I've had a full load, and I've also been preparing for the camp that I have coming up.
Yeah, the skills challenge. We're going to talk to you about that, too. Let's talk about school for a second. You're working on finishing your degree at North Carolina State, right?
I am. I dropped my last semester in college to train for the NFL. You go to school to get a job, so it was my chance to get a job.
Yeah, you get the job first.
Exactly. I kind of did it kind of backwards. I was kind of bitter last year when I got to see a lot of my classmates and peers graduating, and I talked to them this past year, and they are still looking for jobs or having jobs. So I've done a little backwards, but I promised my mom when I got to school that I would finish. So.
And when would you be able to graduate? This spring?
Next spring. Spring it would be in play. And my sister is actually a freshman there. We make jokes all the time saying that, we're going to graduate together.
Which you don't want that, do you?
She would actually graduate before me because her name starts with an A and starts with a T. So,
You don't want that. You don't want to graduate. You want to get it over with before that.
Just want to graduate.
The work on your speed intrigues me because you came in, obviously, with good speed. Do you keep it tab of like 40 numbers? Is that how you measure your speed, or you got other ways to do it?
I say if I had participated in the combine this year, I probably ran a lot faster and been a lot stronger. You know,
what'd you run in the combine? I
only ran a 4.4 officially, but 4.3 I ran unofficially, and I put on some weight to impress the scouts and the teams. But right now I've sized down a little bit, just a few like 3 or 4 pounds, and I've been able to work with that weight a lot better. You know, even my bench press reps went up and a lot of stuff. So. Very good improvement this offseason.
And you would run better now than you did a year ago at the combine.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to run in some track meets this offseason, but, we had our early start having a new staff that, I couldn't do that. So maybe next year I'll run in some track meets.
And the 40 times are an indicator, but functional speed on the field, that's a different animal, right? That's a different thing when you're out there running plays.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm very fast. I have very good closing speed, but my start wasn't very good in the 40. But if the ball's in the air, I'm closing to the ball. So that's very functional on the field, but doesn't translate over to the 40. So,
TJ, I'm curious, what did you use as a model for this offseason, or who did you talk about to go through all this in the offseason?
Well, Doug Whaley sent me a challenge. He said when he was in Pittsburgh, they drafted a guy in the third round named Mike Wallace. So, as a speed guy, he's been he's not a very small speed guy. He's a very long stature, very similar to myself. And he told me to kind of compare ourselves and figure out, what our differences were. And I kind of took that to heart, saying, I've wanted to be that type of player, and more. So I figured it out, and I'm trying to improve on it to get to where he is, So,
tell me about this new offense and the 2 weeks you had in the classroom before you got on the field for the offseason minicamp. What did you learn about this offense? How would you describe this new Buffalo offense?
Wide open. I like it. It's fast paced, So as a speed guy, you can wear down the defense, come back, wear them down again, and. I can come back and wear them down again, So I'm enjoying it, It's very similar to what I've ran, to what we ran last year, different concepts, but very similar, even similar to my offense in college. So I've been kind of being able to piece together little pieces from all my past to make sure that I understand and grasp the offense.
The one thing, just from an observer standpoint, watching the 3 days of practice, the offseason minicamp, was the pace. I mean, the tempo is really a lot faster than what we've become used to here, just the number of plays that are being run.
Oh, I love it. Having ADD, that it doesn't exist now because something's going on quick, fast, and ready. You're not standing around a lot. If you're standing around, you're missing something. Something's not happening. I get back to the line of scrimmage, you're missing the play, so... I'm enjoying it. I love it.
Working with new quarterbacks. Tell us your impressions of, first, Kevin Cobb. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I remember watching him play when we went out to Arizona, and very impressive. Very good guy. Very cool dude. Came in and didn't skip a beat. It felt like he had been here with us for a long time. It was no odd awkwardness situation where, we had to introduce ourselves. It felt like we had already known each other.
Yeah.
He actually joked around with me the very first time we met, so it was kind of funny.
And Tavares, of course, was here last year, but I don't know if you had much of a chance to catch passes from him unless they're an occasional scout team or something last
year. I was always on the scout team, so I did catch a lot of those rockets coming out of his arm. So, he's very good. He throws the ball very hard, very strong, very good quarterback, so I'm enjoying it.
And again, here's an outside observer's opinion watching it, and it just struck me with no reflection at all on the guys, the quarterbacks last year, but there are some live arms on this roster right now. Would you agree?
I love it. As a speed guy, I want to get the ball down the field without having to stop or turn around, so I'm licking my chops.
I noticed also during the offseason minicamps, and maybe it was the result of the tempo, but there is some enthusiasm, some energy that is palpable when you're watching from the sideline. Anyway.
That goes from the offense to the defense. Everywhere is very enthusiastic. We're enjoying ourselves now. Football is fun. And, even though we have to be here for a minicamp or be here earlier, I feel like we've all bought into the system so far, and we're all enjoying ourselves.
We're talking with Bills wide receiver T.J. Graham. It's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO at One Bills Drive. T.J., we approach the draft coming up, and you have been around the North Carolina State system for a while. Tell us about quarterback Mike Glennon. You played with him down
Mike
there.
Mike Glennon, that's my boy. I went to NC State because of Mike Glennon.
Really?
So, if Mike were come here, I don't know if that's destiny. I don't know what you would call that. But I enjoy Mike. I even went to participate in our pro day at NC State for Mike, too.
Did you catch for him?
I did catch for him, so to show that he can throw to a speedy receiver, guy that's in the NFL or so, to help him out so he can be successful, and make it here. But Mike Glennon, strong arm, very smart guy, very good. He's more mobile than people think. I've played basketball with a guy in college back on like just a pickup game, and he can run down the court, dunk, dribble, everything, crossover. So he's very athletic, so don't I don't know why a lot of people knock him for his athleticism. You know, he just doesn't have to use it. You know, he sees the ball, he gets rid of the ball very easily. So.
And during, correct me if I'm wrong, in your time at NC State, his career overlapped with Russell Wilson, right? You also played with Russell Wilson.
I
seemed like totally different types of quarterbacks.
I was very fortunate to have two very good quarterbacks. You know, two very different styles, but two very good quarterbacks. Very good signal callers. They knew the playbooks. They knew everything. So they were there to help me and help us all grow. But very different styles in the sense that, you know, Russell could get outside the pocket and make things happen. But Mike was always looking to get the ball out of his hand. So as a receiver, you know, you love that. You know, so Mike, if you can tell, my senior year, I flourished, you know, with Mike because we are always on the same page. We're like, hey, he's not going to run the ball. He's going to get rid of the ball. So I was running down the field to get open.
Hey, TJ, one of the things, we talked to you about this 5 or 6 weeks ago, the TJ Graham Skills Challenge for high school football players. You've got one coming up actually at the end of this week in Raleigh, North Carolina, Saturday, April 27th. Talk about the skills camp and what you're doing right at the NC State practice facility.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
So the skills camp is a skills challenge. It's very similar to the All-Star Skills Challenge you've seen. They do at the Pro Bowl. They seem to do at the college level and even at the high school level. And those lucky 50 guys that get to participate in those three levels, that's it. You know, so I've brought this to every ordinary person, a high school kid, to participate in it. You know, me not being able to do it my high school or college career, in my college career. So this is a way for me to give back to them. And it's a very unique experience. It's team competition. It's almost like a track meet doing football events. And it's very up in the air. You don't know what you're doing until you get there. Very similar to how the CrossFit Games runs there. So,
and you have teams come in, high school teams, and they're supposed to bring one quarterback, one wide receiver, one running back, right? Mm-hmm. One offensive lineman, one defensive lineman,
one linebacker, and two defensive backs. It'd be one safety, one corner. And they compete in offensive specific challenges and defensive specific challenges, and then they come together to do a offensive relay type race and a defensive type race, and they get combined team scores to be crowned the overall champion. And eventually, in the future, you know, I want to get the champ three top three from Raleigh to participate against the top three from Buffalo at a neutral location. Oh. And this will eventually grow to be a lot bigger. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to make it happen, you know. But it's a very unique thing, and the kids last year in Raleigh really enjoyed it. So it's the second year it's happening.
So it's Saturday, April 27th in Raleigh, and then you're coming up here to Buffalo for the Buffalo version of the TJ Graham Skills Challenge Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 25th at District Field, Williamsville South. Same idea up here.
Same idea. You know, I feel like it's going to be a larger crowd in Buffalo because, you know, the Bills fans love their Bills. So that, down in Raleigh, you know, they love NC State, but we've got competition between UNC and Duke.
Yeah.
But up here, I feel like it's going to be a lot of competition and a lot of fun. So,
am I reading this right? Is it free?
It is free. It is very free. Last year we charged. We had a turnout of 100 or so kids. And this year, the whole goal for me was make it accessible to the kids, you know, because growing up, I love going to free camps. You know, free camps were the best camps. You know, the camps you had to pay were always stressful because you didn't want to let down your parents, or your parents made a big emphasis on you going and doing what you're supposed to do because they're paying out of pocket. So.
So this is coming up in Buffalo, as I said, Williamsville South District Field, Saturday, May 25th. All day, it starts at 1, pretty much afternoon, I would guess. Right?
Oh, yeah. Just, you could bring your kids, you know, bring your dog. Everybody's going to have fun. There's going to be food and stuff out there. Also, prior to the registration, 2 hours prior to registration, there will be a Madden tournament, 2-on-2 Madden tournament, and that'll be a way for, you know, you to kill some time when you get there early before you warm up.
So what do you do if you're listening here in Buffalo or Western New York and you're interested in getting a team together for your skills challenge up here?
Go to tjgrahamskillschallenge.com, and it's tjgrahamskillschallenge.com, and you click on the registration. The first thing that should come up is the registration. So just go up there, fill out your team. First of all, if you get your team together so that when you register, you can accept everything and submit it, and it all goes through. And we'll see you on May 25th.
Just about a month away. Now's the time to get your team together, though, and get on this, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I might bring some teams up from Raleigh just to improve the competition. You know, you guys got to represent for Western New York. You don't let the North Carolina teams beat you. So.
All right. Sounds good. TJGrahamSkillsChallenge.com for information on the TJ Graham Skills Challenge coming to Buffalo on Saturday, May 25th, 1 o'clock, District Field, Williamsville South. TJ, thanks. Mm-hmm. Good camp. You're MVP of the April mini camp. I'm sure there's not much value in that for you.
I'm not going to take the bait. I'm going to eat my humble pie. I'm not going to take the bait.
A great camp, though. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bills receiver TJ Graham, our thanks to him for joining us in studio as they wrapped up the off-season mini camp last week. TJ Graham was outstanding. And again, the information about the TJ Graham Skills Challenge, there's one in Raleigh, North Carolina coming up this weekend, but the one in Buffalo is coming up Labor Day weekend, Saturday, May 25th, 1 p.m. at Williamsville South on Main Street, District Field, Williamsville South on Main Street in Williamsville, Saturday, May 25th. If you need more information, go to TJGrahamSkillsChallenge.com for all the information you need about that. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. A lot of draft talk tonight with much more tomorrow. We'll hear from Doug Whaley, the Bills' assistant general manager, tomorrow night on the eve of the draft. What are the Bills planning on doing? We'll talk with Doug Whaley. Phil Savage, the director of the Senior Bowl, the former general manager of the Cleveland Browns and a former personnel man with the Baltimore Ravens. He'll be with us live tomorrow night. Tony Pauline, who covers the NFL draft for CBSSports.com. A pre-draft show tomorrow night on the radio, 7 to 9 p.m. on WGR Radio in Buffalo and on Sports Radio 950 AM ESPN Radio in Rochester. All of that coming up tomorrow night. We want to thank our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton, the Bills director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews, on the radio tomorrow night. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, will be live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.